Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I love this new spot. This is like beautiful. The last time I met with you guys, you were in like a cafeteria, right? We don't talk about the cafeteria anymore. All right. This is great. This is a really nice spot. God has led you. We made a switch recently too in Westchester to this like beautiful chapel. It's really nice. It's a great place to meet. But as John said, my name is T.J. Parisi, and I am here getting to speak to you this morning. Thank you so much for having me. I also bring good news with me. Today, the Westchester campus men are going to be having a guy get baptized later on today. So that is exciting. It's one of the teens that had grown up in the Queens ministry who came to Westchester for college. And he's doing awesome things already on the Pace campus. So today, our topic is forward. But before we get into that, why don't we say a quick prayer, and then we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3 as we talk about what is forward. Dad, we are so encouraged to be able to be here to worship you, to praise you, and to honor you. I pray that you really allow us to be attentive to your words, that we can hear them, that we can know them, that we can be drawn to you through them, that we are filled with your spirit, filled with your love, and that we can serve you with our whole heart. Thank you for the incredible job that the campus ministry here has done as they've sang praises to you and worshiped you. It's like they just picked every single one of my favorite songs to sing today. And I think it just allows our hearts to just connect with you and to know you. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What would you say to someone who looked at their phone and while looking at their phone walked off a cliff? What would you say to them? It makes no sense. Well, one, you probably couldn't say anything to them because they wouldn't really hear it. But this actually happened. Yeah, this actually happened. It happened about a year ago on Christmas Day out in California. A guy was looking down at an electronic device. They were kind of just vague with it. Maybe it was a phone. Maybe it was an iPad. Who knows? There's so many electronic things that we carry around with us. But he was looking down, like he was just sitting there looking down, and he did not notice that there was a cliff literally like 2 feet in front of him, and he ends up walking off. And other people saw it. They saw this starting to happen, and they tried to yell out to him, but he couldn't hear. He was just too distracted. There was something that was keeping him from looking forward. Yeah, it's interesting. When you hear about a situation like that, it's a lot of times it's easy to say, wow, that was so preventable. That didn't have to happen that way. It could have gone a whole different way. I think that's really the essence of what we're going to be talking about today, is what is to come? What is lying right before us? What is forward in our lives, if we were to fast forward? And what do I need to know in order to prepare myself so that I don't walk off this cliff that is before us? And so in 2 Peter chapter 3, this is one of the things that Peter is trying to help us understand. He's trying to help us get that, hey guys, there's something big waiting for us. Now we don't know when it's going to happen, but you got to be ready. You got to be prepared for what's ahead. And so he starts off in verse 3 and he says, above all, as my thing goes, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being. And the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our brother dear Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Do we live our lives believing in such a way that this will happen? That a cosmic shift will happen at some point. Now, we don't know when, but it says that the heavens are gone. The elements will be gone. Now, in antiquity, they had a very simple view of what they meant when they said elements. There was fire, water, air, and earth. That was it. That was, to them, everything was made up of those four things. And so as people listened to this, there was this, wow, everything is going to be laid bare. The outer skin has been stripped away and just the skeleton remains. You can see the bare bones of what creation is, of what everything will be. And he talks about how scoffers will come. A scoffer. You know, when I think of a scoffer, I think about, you know, when you're having a conversation with somebody and you say something and then they're like, that was a lie. You know, and they say something like, no, that was bad. No, like that. I mean, that's what he's talking about here in this passage. That people will hear about this and they will say, this is crazy. This is never going to happen. Now, God's judgment, that's not a real thing. Because that's what the scoffers in the Old Testament did. Whenever a prophet came and said, hey guys, God is going to do something big. He's going to challenge the foundations of society as we know it if we continue to live in this way. And they said, no, he's not. No. It's been 400 years since we've last heard from God. For us, we might say, well, one, I don't even know if I believe that this Jesus guy even came, that he was around. But it's been, even if he did, it's been 2,000 2,000 years since we've heard from this God character. 2,000 years. Is he really going to come anytime soon? You know, I think when you put this in a different context, okay, how many of us have a bunker in our house or apartment in preparation for the end of the world? I don't. Hopefully that makes you feel better about this. I do not. Why? Because no bunker could even withstand what we're talking about here anyway, right? But if you think about it, like, a lot of times when I think about somebody who has done that, that I guess the stereotypical things that come about are, I think that person is a little crazy. This is not going to happen. It's not like, you know, with all the shows that are on, it's not like the zombie apocalypse is going to start tomorrow. No, I guess some of us, maybe you watch a show or two and you're like, all right, I'm sort of prepared. I have a little bit of a plan if something were to come up. But we're not, but that doesn't mean that we're actively prepared, that we're actively ready for that. You know, is God ever going to come back? Is he coming? Because if he is, it should have a profound impact on the way that we live our lives. Right? If you knew, for example, if you knew a storm was coming, or if you knew that it was going to be winter soon, which is strange because we're in November and it's warm out. It's a beautiful day, right? And I think about all the times when I was a little kid and I would go to leave and my mom was like, don't forget a coat. Don't forget your jacket. And you're like, no, 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 Mom, I don't need it. And then you're out and you're like, man, I really wish I had listened to my mom. I really wish that I had brought a jacket with me because it's freezing out. Right, we can look at these signs, at these different things that are going on in our world. There, we have foreknowledge, whether it's through a weatherman or through your mom or someone like that, that helps try to prepare us for what's ahead. And so that's exactly what's happening. Peter is trying to warn them, hey, you got to get ready. Is your spiritual bunker intact? Is it stocked up? Is it prepared for what's about to come? Because here's the challenge. With some of these things that we're talking about, now we can prepare very easily for a storm. Right? We know, okay, I just need to bring an umbrella. I need to throw on a raincoat. I got to get some good boots. I'll be good. If it's going to be a really bad storm, maybe I'll go to the supermarket. I'll get food for a couple of days. I'll keep it in the fridge. It'll happen and it'll be great. And we'll be ready. But I think sometimes we have, because it's been so long since we've quote-unquote last heard from God, we lose a sense of urgency that there is a time that is coming where God will judge the world. And we need to be ready. Are you dressed appropriately? Because what's to come if the very foundation of the earth is going to be destroyed, melted down, stripped back, laid bare? That's not something that we can survive on our own. That's not something that we can even fathom and continue in. That's something that can only be done through God. He's the only one who can protect us. Right? If everything's going to be burned up, it should also play a part in what we keep, what we hold on to, what we invest in. Right? If the end of the world were happening, what would you go to the supermarket and buy? You would buy probably a ton of Twinkies because you know those things are surviving, and canned food. Because those are things that will last far longer than just a simple, oh yeah, I'm going to go grab some fruit. Now, fruit may be delicious, but it's not going to last you past a certain point. It will rot. It will expire. And so it should play an impact on the decisions that we make. In Romans 13, verses 11 to 14, it says, "And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as is done in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Wow. Now you hear something like this. He's naming specific things. Specific things that are flammable. That are going to go up in flames. What does he say? Carousing, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, jealousy. Now, I'm taking my classes online right now. And it's been maybe a couple years since I've been on a college campus as a dorm student. Have things changed much since that time? Was it like 5 years, 6 years? Because I remember reading this and thinking, wow, this describes the majority of my school. It was funny, when I first got to college, I went to the Catholic University of America for my undergraduate. And I got there, and there was this wonderful welcoming banquet. And we're sitting there, we're talking, and I end up talking with one of the priests that are sitting there. And he's being very pleasant and nice. And I say, okay, so what's it like here? How's the school? Am I going to enjoy my time here? He's like, oh, so what's your major? What are you studying? And I said, oh, I'm a music student. I'm studying to be an opera singer. My parents are not happy. You can see that path did not continue with all that went into that education. And so we're sitting there, we're talking, and as soon as I mentioned, hey, I'm not going to be in the music school, he says, oh, with those heathens. Like with this like really serious face. And I'm like, what? Partially I'm like, wait, what did I sign up for? And the other part I'm like, wait, is he allowed to say that? Is he allowed to do that? And so I get there and I start thinking, I start participating in the music school and seeing the different things that are going on, and I start seeing some very genuine people who are just really trying their best to get by. They're looking to anything and everything that's going to make them feel loved, that's going to shield their hearts, that's going to protect them. And as they're going and trying to find anything that meets their needs, a lot of college students, they turn to these very things because they feel like this promise that delivers so little is going to fill them up, that it's going to protect them, when really they don't realize that the only thing that can protect us, that can clothe us, is a righteous life in Christ Jesus. That's why he says, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, you think about it. When we know something is coming, right? We don't just say, okay, I'm not going to steer towards what's going to bring disaster to my life. And a lot of times we do this because we don't realize, right? We think about in the moment. We think about, okay, this feels good right now. And I don't think you have to be somebody who's just trying to find God to struggle with some of these things. Think about how many people who you know are Christians, who are disciples, who struggle to be pure, who wrestle with it, who are drawn into the ways of the world, who sometimes just think, man, it would be so easy for me to just try to forget my problems for a day, for a moment, for an instant. I don't want to keep doing this. I don't want to. This life of following God, it's so restrictive. It's so challenging. I don't know if I can keep doing this. And so we want to ignore God's call. We want to ignore what is ahead and pretend like it's not there. Now, what's crazy is in the midst of all this cosmic language, in the midst of all this scary things that we're talking about, how the world is going to be purged, I guess to a certain extent, purified by fire, Peter says, hey, wait a minute. Peter assumes that Christians are actually looking forward to this happening. Like Christians actually want this to happen. Want this to come. What? I don't want to run inside a fiery building. That makes no sense. Right? But he says this. He says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. What? Wow. Now, there's a lot of debate that happens amongst scholars and where they say, okay, well, is he going to do a replacement? You know, like when you get, my car fell apart, so I'm just going to get a new one? Or is God just going to melt it down and use the old material to make something new? But regardless of which one it is, however you want to picture it, the goal of this day is not destruction. The goal of this day is refinement and remaking. It is the removal of evil and the reign of righteousness. That's why it says in verse 13, it says, we are looking forward to a dwelling place where righteousness reigns, where righteousness dwells. Now, I want you to think about your life. Think about the ways that you live, the way that you view what God calls us to do. Is that something that you look forward to, or is that something that you dread and begrudgingly follow because you feel like you have to? He says this is something that we should look forward to because it's good, because it's exciting. And if we don't look forward to righteousness now, why would we look forward to it then? This life is a foretaste of what God has in store for us. And the way that he calls us, don't get me wrong, this is a really difficult lifestyle, but not more difficult than the other alternative. You know, I think about it, it says without blemish. We are to live in a way that is holy and righteous and pure without blemish. And I think about that, I think, man, I cannot even eat a sandwich without getting food on myself. How in the world am I supposed to live a life that is righteous and holy and without blemish? And as we talked about before, we can't. We can't do it. We need Christ to clothe us, as Romans says. And how do we do that? Well, what's cool is we actually can play a part. And as we read in that 2 Peter passage, we actually can play a part in hastening the day of the Lord. Now, I have no idea how that works because these cosmic things are really, I don't think they're meant for us to be fully understood. We don't know when it's going to come. But in some way, in some form, Peter has made it clear that we can play a role in making this happen, in this day coming. Because think about it. What is he really talking about? If you think, what would a world be like without evil? What would a world be like without pain, without suffering, without worry, without anxiety, without fear of whether or not you can trust someone? Without the worry of disease and sickness. And this is the very life that Peter says, look, if you're tired of these things are going to be done away with in this new kingdom where righteousness reigns, where righteousness dwells. And so how should we live then if we know this is at stake? Well, if you are a Christian today, if you are a disciple, it should mean that we should sit and reflect on where our heart is. Am I really serious? Am I really going after my relationship with God? Is my aim to be pure and spotless and blameless, or is it just to get as few stains as possible but still look presentable? Because I think sometimes that can be our heart, right? Oh, I got a stain on my shoulder over here. I can hide that with a coat, right? Woo! People don't need to see that. But our aim should be blameless. That means no fault within us. There is nothing in our ways that is contrary to what God has called us to and the way that He's called us to live. Now, yeah, we won't be perfect. And thankfully, we have a great stain remover in Jesus. Amen, right? He cleans us. He cleanses us. But as He calls us, it should allow us, it should motivate us to live with urgency. To say, I don't know when you're coming back. I don't know if I'm urgent about a storm, about a hurricane, about a tropical, whatever, coming, then you prepare. If we know that a greater disaster, or as we, if you're a follower of God, a greater joy is on the horizon, then we should prepare for it. Right? Parties, you prepare for. You buy things. Sometimes you go and you buy a new outfit. You get ready because you know it's something to look forward to and the joy that comes with it. But it should also cause us to be urgent for the people around us. That we should know, hey, this party, this is coming. You need to be ready. I want to make sure that you're on the guest list. I want to make sure that you're clothed so that when the fire comes, you'll be fireproof. You know what's forward. You know what's ahead of us. And so as followers of Christ, we need to make sure that this world does not contaminate us as much as we influence and move it. And finally, he says in verse 17 of 2 Peter 3, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And so as we wrap up, I just want us to think about, what are you looking forward to? Are you ready? Is your bunker prepared? And are you continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Amen. To God be the glory.